بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is our third session for basic Arabic grammar review. And the notes that we are using are entitled Handouts for Medina Book 1. Handouts for Medina Book 1. And handouts meaning that these people have made some notes in which they try to explain briefly the main grammatical points in the Medina Book 1. These notes are not Medina Book 1. They are not connected to Medina Book 1, except that they are dealing with many of the grammatical principles that are in Medina Book 1. The order that they cover them, the manner that they cover them in, is completely independent. Has nothing to do with Medina Book 1. It's just, they have put it in their own order. I don't know what kind of order they use, but however they felt they wanted to do it. Okay, it's not according to chapter or anything like that in Medina Book 1. This is their own arrangement that they have made. And as I said in the first session, basically the reason why we are reviewing these points from these handouts is because they cover most of the important major principles, grammatical rules that are in Medina Book 1. Because of that, we want to review it, but we want to look at it from a different perspective, and perhaps it may help us to catch some of the things we missed or to understand something that we didn't understand. Okay, so quickly, right? on the first page, the page that's not numbered, the cover page of these notes, there's a list of the topics that are going to be covered. And it says on page 1, parts of speech. On page 2, the Arabic alphabet. On page 3, Arabic nouns have endings. And on page 4, nominal sentence. Page 4 is what we want to do today. Nominal sentence, okay? As far as what was covered on page 1, meaning the parts of speech, then we covered the parts of speech in English and the parts of speech in Arabic. But what we are concerned about is the parts of speech in Arabic, right? And we said, how many parts of speech are there in Arabic? How many parts of speech? Three. That's right, three. We said that there are three parts of speech, okay? And we said last week when we reviewed the first session, we said those three parts of speech are what? Ism. Huh? Fi'l. And harf. Okay, ismun, fi'lun, and harfun. And we said that an ism means what? Noun. And a fi'l means what? A verb. And a harf means what? Particle. Example of a noun. Somebody give me an example of a noun. Like what? Noun. Muhammad. Okay, this is a proper noun, right? Muhammad. Muhammadun. Okay, somebody give me another example of a noun. Different kind of noun, other than a proper noun. Different kind of noun, huh? Masjid, okay? Masjid. Okay, that's a common noun. Masjid, that's not a proper noun. It's a common noun. Okay, what else comes under nouns? Other than proper nouns and common nouns, what other kind of nouns are that comes under noun, huh? Huh? Okay, person, place, or thing. Okay, that's what a noun is. But I mean different type of noun other than a proper noun or common noun. A pronoun, like a pronoun. A pronoun comes under noun in Arabic. Under ism, we have pronouns. So a pronoun, give me an example of a pronoun. Huwa. Naam. Another example? Hiya. And so on, like this, right? Hum, and so on, okay? What other kind of words come under ism in Arabic, under this part of speech? Nouns, common nouns, proper nouns, pronouns, adjectives also, okay? Adjective would be a noun. It would come under like a regular, a common noun. Adjective may be come under a common noun, but it's an adjective meaning it's being used to describe something. Okay, like adjective to describe something. Give me an adjective for something. Huh? Okay, Jamilun. I didn't hear the other words too clearly because I can only hear one person at a time. Three people speak at the same time, Allah, I don't know, can't understand anything now. It's alright, but I'm just saying, Allah, He hears all of us calling on Him, right? Millions of people can call Allah at one time, He understands everyone and responds to everyone, but you and me, we are da'if, jiddan. We can only stand one thing at a time. We can't get more than that. Okay, we are stuck. So, okay, Jamilun. Another example, big. tall, tawilun, kabirun, sagirun, like this. These are examples. And then there are other types of nouns also, okay? So there are lots of types of nouns. Also, I want to mention one more under here, the dharf. The dharf. In English, a dharf is what? Adverb. An example of an adverb? Tahta. Tahta. Yani, underneath. Tahta. Or fawqa. Or yameen, yasar, like this, to the right and the left. Okay, so these are some types of words, common nouns, proper nouns, adjectives, pronouns. Yani, and there are also different kinds of pronouns, right? This is a demonstrative pronoun. We didn't have a demonstrative pronoun here. But we have demonstrative pronoun, we have relative pronoun. So there's different types of words. All this comes under ism. Under fi'l, verb, what do we mean by a verb? What do we mean in Arabic? What do we mean by verb? When we say a fi'lun, what do we mean by that? Word that shows action. Shows action. And it also should indicate time. Any past tense, present tense, future. And it also should include within it the doer of the action, the fa'il. Yani, if you say, for example, jalasat. Jalasat tells you an action of what? Sitting. It tells you the time frame, past tense or present tense or future tense. Jalasat is what tense? Past tense. Past tense. It happened. Okay, and it also tells you the one who's doing the action. Who's doing the action? Hiya. Third person feminine singular. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Just for a few minutes, brothers, sisters, just for a few minutes, inshallah, I want to just review a little bit further what we had in the last session before we go into the topic for today, right? So, what we were saying, yani before the adhan, and we're going to break in 10 minutes, inshallah, so we can pray, sunnah prayers and congregational prayer. What we're saying before the adhan is that the parts of speech in Arabic are three, and that is ism, fi'l, and harf. And then we started to break down the different categories of nouns that come under ism. Common nouns, proper nouns, pronouns, and so on, right? Adjectives. And now we're looking at the fi'l, the second part of speech that we have listed here. And we said that it's a verb. And a verb indicates action. And it also indicates, has a time frame, past, present, or future. And the doer of the action. So we gave the example of the word jalasat. Okay? Jalasat. Jalasat. And we said this indicates the action of what? Sitting. And it indicates the time frame. Which time frame? Past tense. And it also indicates the doer of the action, which is who? It's the third person, feminine, singular, here. It indicates she, here. And the third person, feminine, singular, she sat. Exactly who sat? A female, who you're talking about, and it's individual, one, singular. All right? So this is the Arabic verb, okay? And there are many examples of verbs. This is a past tense verb. They're also present tense verbs. And they are command form verbs, okay? And we should have a good idea about the verb as we go through the next few lessons, because we're going to talk about verbs shortly, okay? But in any case, this is a verb. And again, we said that in Arabic, the verb is either past tense, present tense, or future. And there's yani the present tense verb, yani the mudari verb, is used for action that's in process right now, as well as a future action. Yani specifically, you can indicate the future by the word sofa. By using the word sofa, we'll talk about that another time, or the letter seen. Okay? As far as verbs, somebody give me another verb, just for yani to hear some verbs. Verb, like what? Huh? Sajada. Sajada means to? Prostrate. Another one? Huh? Zahaba means to go. He went. Another one? Huh? Kharaja. Kharaja, to go out. Zahaba, to go away. Kharaja, to go out. Yani from inside to outside. Now. Qama. Qama yakumu. Yani. Now. Fa'ala. Fa'ala has many meanings, but yani fa'ala means he did something. But it also means yani it has the meaning of to initiate something, and it also means to make something. It has a lot of different meanings, but in any case, now. Okay, so these are some verbs. We're going to look at the last part, is the particle, the harf. Primarily the particle, yani what we will see under particle harf means that these are little words that either are used as prepositions or conjunctions for the most part. Prepositions or conjunctions. Okay, a preposition is like, for example, if you said He went to the masjid. She came from the school. From. Okay, so these are yani prepositions like ila, min, ala, and so on, right? Like this. And conjunctions like when you are joining two parts of a sentence together. Yani you say, he ate an apple and an orange. Okay? So, and here, the wow here is a conjunction. It joins the orange to what was mentioned before it. And he ate an apple. It means that he ate an apple and he also ate an orange. But yani just by using the conjunction wow, it means you join what comes after wow to what was before it. So whatever happened to apple, same thing happens to orange. And in Arabic, the grammatical yani case ending, the i'rab of the word that comes after conjunction is the same as whatever is connected to before the conjunction. Okay, so if he ate an apple, if apple is mansub, yani in the accusative case, then orange that comes after it with the conjunction is also going to be mansub. And we'll go into that in detail, but the point is, right, that these are also yani particles, like this letter, wow. And similar to it is thumma, yani thumma, then, thumma. And fa also, yani these are particles. Okay, so these are the parts of speech. And then in the second session, quickly, in the second session, last week, it should be more fresh. Yani this we had the first week, right? So maybe you forgot some of it. And the last week should be fresh in your memory. Last week we talked about nouns, words, and Arabic words. They have endings. Those endings tell us about the function of the word in the sentence. And we said that the word is going to end with either what? What will be the ending of these words? Fatha. It will either end with fatha or kasra or dhamma. Okay, these are the endings that we're talking about. These vowel endings. Kasra, fatha, or dhamma. Yani meaning it's going to end with a little slash above the consonant. Or kasra will be below the consonant. Or dhamma will be also above the consonant. If it ends with one of these vowels, that vowel is the case ending, which tells us about the i'rab, yani the grammatical function of that word in the sentence. Is it its function? Is it acting as the subject of the sentence? Is it acting as the object of a preposition? Or is it the object of a verb? Yani the thing that the action of the verb fell upon or occurred to, yani was affected by. What is this function in the sentence? Okay, this ending, the case ending, the vowel at the end, tells us something about the function of that word in terms of its grammatical position and its function in the sentence. And if it has fatha, that means that it is yani mansub. And if it has kasra, that means that it is majrur. And if it has dhamma, that means that it is marfu'un. 10 minutes, inshallah. 10 daqa'iq, nusalli. Alright? So these case endings are very important. Knowing the case ending. What do we mean when we say marfu'un? That means it's nominative case. You have to know this, okay? Because I might not always say nominative. I'll just say marfu'un. You have to know what we mean by marfu'un. When I say majrurun, you have to memorize this word. That majrurun means the genitive case. Or they say possessive. If I say mansubun, then you have to know I'm talking about the accusative case, yani objective case, yani the object of the verb or something like this, okay? And these English meanings of the words are not so precise or accurate, okay? But anyway, that's how they came in English. What's more important is how we use it in Arabic. When we say mansub, we mean that it has a certain case ending that tells us that it has one of a number of functions, meaning it's the object of the verb, or it's the ism inna, or it's something like this, okay? These functions that we will learn as we go along. So when we say nominative case, as far as the lesson today, when we say nominative case, the lesson today is dealing with sentences, the nominative sentence, the jumla ismiya. When we say it's in the nominative case, we mean that in this sentence there are two essential parts, the mubtada and the khabar. We're going to talk about that today. Nominative case is for the mubtada and the khabar. Both parts of the nominative sentence are going to be in the nominative case. Yani the mubtada, the subject, and the khabar, the predicate, are both nominative. Marfu'un. Okay, please, I asked you last week, please make me happy and tell me that you memorized these three words. Because that's why I went over the lesson last week before we left. So you could be familiar, you could understand if you didn't already know it. Yeah, I think some of us who already know these words because we covered them when we're doing Medina Book 1. But in case you didn't catch those words and you had a whole week to memorize these three words, marfu'un, mansub, and majrur. Okay, genitive, accusative, and nominative case. Very, very important to understand what these words mean and what they indicate, and to try to, and you just keep reviewing them until it sticks in your head. Okay, so this is what we talked about last week. The nouns have endings. Those endings, yani, mean the vowel ending at the end of the word, and the vowel ending tells us its case, yani its i'rab. Okay, when I say i'rab, I mean this word here. This is i'rab. This is also a word you're going to be hearing a lot. I'rab, i'rabun. Okay, it means the grammatical function of the word in the sentence. Yani, i'rab is its case ending. The case ending. Yani, it has fatha, kasra, or dhamma, and it tells us that it is nominative, or accusative, or genitive. Okay, I hope that what we covered last week is clear to everyone. Is there any question of what we covered last week, related to what we covered last week? And these expressions, what they mean, and how they use, and what indicates them, which vowel indicates which one. Is there a question about this, meaning that you don't understand it? And it's okay. If you don't understand it, that's what we're here for, right, to explain it. If there's a question, before we go to the new subject, because in the new subject, we're going to be talking about these case endings. When we talk about sentences, we're going to be talking about these case endings. This i'rab, nominative, accusative, and genitive. So make sure that, and it's clear in your mind, at least the concept. If you didn't memorize the Arabic words, you have time, you can memorize them. But the concept should be clear. Now,
you said about the jumla ismiyah and jumla filiyah.
We're going to talk about that today. That's what we're going to talk about, our subject today. But I'm talking about last week's subject. Any question about last week's subject, the case endings?
You said about the jumla ismiyah, the sentence begins with noun.
Yes. Now,
Muhammad huwa dhahaba ila suq.
Yani, Muhammad is a noun, so it's a jumla ismiya. If it begins with a noun, it's jumla ismiya. Doesn't matter if it has a verb in the sentence. We're talking about here, we're going to talk about it today. That's what we're going to explain today, okay? What we're concerned about here is the sentence begins with a noun or a verb. Doesn't matter how many nouns are in the sentence, how many verbs are in that sentence. If it begins with a noun, then it's a nominal sentence. If it begins with a verb, it's a verbal sentence. Okay, dhahaba Muhammad, that begins with a noun, a verb. If you begin with a verb, that becomes a verbal sentence. That's the point. Okay, inshallah, we're going to talk about that today. Any question about last week's subject? Last week's subject, case endings, i'rab. Okay, inshallah, we're going to stop here, and we're going to pray in 10 minutes. So, yani, please, yani, utilize this time. Very important that we pray the sunnah prayers, because we are the people of sunnah. It means that we follow the sunnah. We practice the sunnah.
May bismillah, wa salat wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala ali wa man wala wa ba'd.
This is our third session for basic Arabic grammar review. And the notes that we are using are called handouts for Medina Book 1. In the previous two sessions, we covered the first point, parts of speech in Arabic and English, the Arabic alphabet, along with vowel sounds, and Arabic nouns have endings. These are the topics that we covered already on the first three pages. And before the Salat, in the first part of this session, we reviewed all of those matters. So at this point, we want to go into the topic for today, which is the nominal sentence, al-jumla al-ismiya. But before we read from the notes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask a question, if you have any questions. And related to the topics that we already covered in the first two sessions. Now, Akbar.
On page three.
Ayyu shahrin hadha. Now.
You mentioned one word, ismi, but usually I just write down the, like, I'm not sure what is that. So, in that one, what kind of ism is it?
What kind of ism is mentioned? Okay. If everybody is with us on page 3, on the bottom of the page, or near the bottom of the page, point number 3, when the last letter of a noun has a kasra. When the last letter of a noun has a kasra, it's said to be majrur. I hope that everybody is with us so we can get the benefit of the question. It is said to be majrur. It indicates the genitive case. And then they give examples. Yani from the right side of the page, هذا كتاب محمدٍ, that's majrur محمدٍ, yani the book of Muhammad, because it's مضافٌ إليه. الساعة على السرير. السرير here is majrur because it's the object of the preposition after على. أي يوم هذا. Here, yawmin is majrur because it is mudaf ilayhi, mudaf to ayyu, mudaf to ayyu. And the mudaf ilayhi, we said, is always majrur. And the final example, ayyu shahrin hadha, and these last two examples are basically the same. Ayyu shahrin, again, shahrin here is majrur. And majrur here means the genitive case. Okay, ayyu yawmin hadha means which day is this? Ayyu shahrin hadha means which month is this? And the question is, which ism is mentioned here? Tayyib, as we reviewed earlier in the first part of this session, as we began to review what we covered in the previous session, we said that the parts of speech in Arabic are 3, right? So in case somebody came late, we want to give you the benefit of the review we had today. There are ismun, fi'lun, and harfun. Ismun means noun, fi'lun means verb, and harfun means particle. And we discussed this in detail. What I want to look at now is what comes under ism. We said under ism comes nouns and pronouns and adjectives and adverbs, and we didn't mention but also interjections. And ism fi'l also comes under that. So in this sentence here, ayyu shahrin hadha, each one of these verbs, each one of these words here come under ism. Yani ayyu is a ism, shahrun is a ism, and hadha is a ism. Yani hadha is a ism because what? Under ism comes pronouns. Demonstrative pronouns in this case. Yani hadha is a demonstrative pronoun. So that comes under ism. And shahrun is also a noun, right? It's a common noun. Shahr. And then ayyu is also a noun. It's a ism istifham. Ism istifham. Yani meaning a noun that's used to ask a question. Ism istifham. Okay? So this kind of noun, istifham. Yani this is for used to ask a question, a noun that's used to ask a question. So this word ayyu, in this case, in this usage here, ayyu is used to ask a question. It means which month, which day, which year, right? So ayyu is a ism istifham. All right, that's the question. Okay, so hopefully, yani his question gave us a chance to review what we already reviewed before. Some of the people who came late, they missed our review. So this is another second review of the parts of speech in Arabic. Under noun, we have different types of nouns. And this is, yani, so all of these words in this sentence, they're all nouns, different types of noun, demonstrative pronoun, ism istifham, and a common noun. But all of them come under ism. Okay, so, all right, that's from...
They are not come under that eight categories.
Yeah, it comes under, yeah, it's a noun, but it's a noun, but what type of noun? A noun that's used to ask a question. Okay, that's a further breakdown that's not coming under the main parts of speech. It's not coming under the main parts. Huh? No, it's not a ninth one, no. There are many, many other parts, yani, words, classifications of words in Arabic beyond what we have mentioned here. There are many other categories, but these are the main ones in accordance with what? And this breakdown is in reference to the parts of speech in English and Arabic, how they relate to one another. So in English, they said there are 8 parts of speech. So we mentioned those 8 parts of speech, where they come in Arabic, five of them come under ism, one comes under fi'l, and two come under harf. Those are the eight parts of speech in English. Yeah, it's coming under ism. Yeah, but it's not mentioned in English, as eight parts of speech in English. It's not mentioned from like that, yani, as that specific yani description, as ism istifham. No, of course there's a lot of other categories of words that are not mentioned here. These are the main categories that we want to yani look at. The main thing here now though, yani, is that particular word is, we can classify it as a noun, or more specifically, as a noun that's used to ask a question. Ism istifham. Okay, other words like that are used to ask questions are, if somebody said, how are you? How are you? That's a question, right? How? That word is what? Kayfa. Okay, if you ask how many dollars do you have? Okay, you say, how many? You say, kam. These are asma istifham. They used to ask a question. Kayfa, mata, aina. These are words that are used to ask questions. Now,
so
Adam.
In this case, so the ayu, ayu min hala and ayu shahrin hala, this case here, the ayu is not used like adwa.
No, it's not. It's not used as an adverb. It's not an adverb here. No, this is not an adverb. Ayu is not an adverb. No, an adverb indicates the position of something, like it is in front of or behind, or it is on the right side or the left side or above or below. This is what the adverb is used for. Okay, yeah, showing position. That's the zarf al makan, and there's also zarf al zaman. But in any case, here it is not used as an adverb. Okay. Last week, you know, what we covered last week is very, very important, as I said. And I hope that you will try to memorize these terms, the marfu'un, and mansubun, and majrurun. I've written them on the top of the board there. Mansub, accusative, majrur, genitive, and marfu'un, nominative. I've written them up here so that you can look back at it until you memorize it. But you have to memorize them. And each of these expressions, what they mean, and how do you translate that word into English, and examples of each one so you know what we're talking about. Today our topic is Al-Jumla Al-Ismiya. Al-Jumla Al-Ismiya, the nominal sentence. Now I want to say that this topic is covered here in one page, right? But really, yani, we can make a whole chapter out of this topic, right? In 10 or 15 or 20 pages, and we can go further and further and further to no end, right? So the objective here, just to be clear, is not to explain to you everything about the nominal sentence in Arabic. That's not our objective. Rather, our objective is to give you the basic picture of what is a nominal sentence. Yani, the core, yani, principles related to the nominal sentence. Yani, the essential elements, okay, which are two, the mubtada and khabar. That's really what we want to understand today. What is a nominal sentence as opposed to a verbal sentence? We want to know what's the difference, okay? We're not going to really talk about the verbal sentence here so much, but just to know that there's a nominal sentence and there's a verbal sentence. Our subject today is the nominal sentence, okay? We want to know what that is. The parts of the nominal sentence in Arabic are al-khabaru and al-mubtada'u, okay? These are the two parts. We want to talk about that. We want to know what are these two parts, what do they mean, what do they represent, how do they function. We want to know something about them. Okay, in English, the subject and the predicate. We want to look at a lot of examples of nominal sentences. And some examples of verbal sentences too, just so that we can see what's the difference between them. And if you leave here today and you know that there are two types of sentence in Arabic, I'm saying that in case you didn't know it, maybe you already knew it, but if you didn't know it and you left here today knowing that there are two types of sentences in Arabic, the nominal sentence and the verbal sentence, then that is good. If you know what is the difference between these two types of sentences, yani, that a nominal sentence begins with a noun and a verbal sentence begins with a verb. If the first word of the sentence is a verb, that's a verbal sentence. If the first word begins with a noun, that's a nominal sentence. Even if the verbs come after it, doesn't matter. What it begins with is what matters. If you understand that, alhamdulillah, you have done well. And after that, we want to know, what are the essential elements of the nominal sentence? There are two. The subject that you want to talk about, in Arabic called mubtada'u, and the khabar, the information that you want to tell about that subject. Okay, the subject, al-mubtada'u, and the predicate, al-khabaru. If you know that, excellent. And finally, we want to know that in terms of i'rab, in a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence, both the mubtada and the khabar, the subject and the predicate, are marfu'un, in the nominative case, taking dhamma or dhammatain. Yani a single dhamma or a double dhamma tanween. That's it. If you know all of that already, then alhamdulillah, you can help us teach the class today. Rather, you can teach the class today, because all you have to do is read this and explain it. And I say that, yani, sincerely, because actually, some of you sitting here today, really you already know this. I know that some of you already know it, and some of you don't know it. But those who already know this, then you could be teaching this class today. Or you could be teaching the same subject tomorrow, or the next day, or any day, somewhere else, or wherever. And you should be doing so. Because if you know that Arabic is important, and you have taken the time out to learn it, then you should be teaching somebody else. Yes. Don't leave the Muslims ignorant. Yes, person, Muslim, 10 years, 20 years, we don't know Arabic. Oh, yes. That's unfortunate. That's a musibah. That's a calamity. And the worst part about it is that there are too many Muslims who know Arabic who don't have the time to teach those who don't know. That's the worst part about it. That you have learned and you don't want to share with others. Teach your family. Your husband, and if a sister knows Arabic, your wife, if a brother knows Arabic, your children, your parents, your siblings, your neighbors, teach somebody. Okay? Because this is, yani, a key to knowledge in Arabic, the Arabic language. Yani, knowledge in Islam, I mean. This is a key. Okay, let's read from the paper on page 4. And I'm going to erase this stuff here, some of it or most of it, okay? Because the need for me to write on the board, inshallah. I'll try to leave something up here, but I need some space to write. And I'm going to erase more as we go along. Okay, before we start, I just want to remind you of this principle. All proper nouns are definite. Proper nouns in Arabic are all definite. Even if a proper noun has tanween, it's still definite. Proper nouns are definite. Alright, keep that in mind. Please don't forget that. Because sometimes we're going to be talking about definite and indefinite, as we spoke about it last week. Yani, the definite article, words that have alif lam, we say that they are definite. And words that have tanween, we say they are indefinite. And that is true. That's the general rule. But there are some words that have tanween which are not indefinite. Like proper nouns, masculine proper nouns, if they take tanween, they are still definite, not indefinite. Okay? Alright. If there's something that is said and you don't understand, stop me. If you wait to the end, no problem at that point either. But yani, it's okay to ask questions, okay? If I repeat something two or three times and you still didn't get it, say something. Don't just say, well, you said it already too many times, I ain't going to get it, I'm not going to ask a question. You have to ask a question. Because we don't want you to leave and you don't understand something. Yani, if I didn't make it clear, then tell me so I can get another chance at it. Top of the page for nominal sentence. Nominal sentence in Arabic is called al-jumlatu al-ismiyatu. What? Al-jumlatu al-ismiyatu. Notice in the word ismiya, right? Notice in the word ismiya, right? In this word ismiya, we have the beginning of it. Hamza al-wasl, seen and meem, which is what? Ism, which means noun. So this ismiya, jumla ismiya, it means it is a sentence that begins with a noun. means that it's a sentence that begins with a noun. Begins with the ism. And we will see later that there is also the jumla fi'liya. And that means that it is a sentence that begins with a fi'l. With a fi'l. Okay? If the sentence begins with the fi'l, then we say this is a verbal sentence. Jumla fi'liya. If it begins with a ism, a noun, we say it is a nominal sentence, jumla ismiya. So we say ismiya means it begins with a noun. If we say fi'liya, means it begins with a verb. These are the two types of sentences in Arabic. Tayyib. Nominal sentence, that's our subject today. What is a sentence? What is a sentence? And when we say a sentence, we don't just mean put like 3 or 4 words together, 5 words, 10 words, and that's automatically a sentence. Okay, that's not automatically a sentence just because you have so many words. That doesn't make it a sentence. In order for it to be a sentence, it has to have certain components, essential components. It has to make sense. And when you put those words together, they have to make sense. They have to have a complete meaning. Otherwise, if you have a lot of words, but you don't have a complete meaning, doesn't matter how many words you have there, 3, 4, 5, 10 words. If the meaning is not complete, then we don't call that a sentence. Okay, in Arabic we call it a jumla mufida. Jumla mufida. Yani, a jumla, a sentence that gives you some benefit. It has a complete meaning. It makes sense. Sentence is a group of words which make complete sense. Like, Muhammad is a student. Okay? Muhammad is a student. Is that a complete sentence?
No.
No. It's a complete sentence. If I said, Muhammad is a... It's incomplete. Is a what? Muhammad is a... It's not complete. The second example they gave us. Hamid is sick. Hamid is sick. Is that complete?
Yep.
Complete. What if we said, is sick? You say, who is sick? What is sick? Is sick? It's not complete. Right? So, what are the essential components here that makes these two sentences complete sentences? They both contain two essential elements. That is the mubtada and a khabar, a subject and a predicate. Okay, so that's what we want to look at today. How the sentence becomes complete if it has these two essential elements. And if it doesn't have both of them, no matter how many words you have, it doesn't matter. It's not going to be in Arabic considered as a sentence. Rather, even in English, I think. We have a teacher over here, maybe he can tell us different. I don't know. But in Arabic, it's not a complete sentence unless the essential elements of a sentence are present. Or at least understood. And at least understood. Because there are situations in Arabic where you can have yani one word and the rest of the sentence is understood. Like if somebody said, are you a student? And you said, na'am. Meaning, na'am. Ana talibun. The rest is understood, right? So that's okay. But it has to be at least understood. Has to be at least understood. Okay, the core ingredients of any sentence are a subject and a predicate. This is English, right? In English, the nominal sentence must have these two core ingredients, a subject and a predicate. The subject names a person, a place, or a thing that we are talking about. The subject names the person, the place, or the thing that we are talking about. The predicate makes a statement, gives us information, tells us something about the subject. The predicate makes a statement about the subject. In other words, the predicate is a part of a sentence which expresses what is said about the subject. Okay, this is English grammar, right? You have a subject, you want to talk about a person or a place or a thing, you have a subject, and now we want to tell you something about that subject. So the information that we are being told about the subject is called in English the predicate. In the above two sentences, Muhammad and Hamid are subjects. Yani in the sentence, Muhammad is a student, Muhammad is the subject. What about Muhammad? He's a student. In the second sentence, Hamid is the subject. Hamid is sick. What about Hamid? He's sick. So in those two sentences, both Muhammad and Hamid are subjects. They are the mubtada. And is a student and is sick are predicates. Okay? In Arabic language, there are two kinds of sentences. Okay, let's stop here before we go to that, right? Let me just make sure that's clear. Yani, I am honestly not so concerned about you knowing what is the subject and a predicate. But if you know that, it might be helpful to you. If you already know that about English. But if you don't know it, what's important? We want to know what is a mubtada and a khabar. That's what we want to really know. Okay, we want to know what is a mubtada and what is a khabar. A mubtada is the word that we begin with, and the khabar is what we want to say about it. Okay, so we begin with the word Muhammad, that's the mubtada. Huh? What I want to say about Muhammad? He is a student, that's the khabar. We begin with Hamid, we want to talk about Hamid, that's the mubtada. Is sick is what I want to say about Hamid, he is sick, that's the khabar. That's the information that we want to say about the subject. Any question? Okay. In Arabic language, there are two kinds of sentences. Okay, we're going to go back now a little bit. After we know what is yani a sentence is composed of these two essential elements, subject and predicate, mubtada and khabar. Subject is what we want to talk about, the khabar is what we want to say about it. Now, they are going to say what? Yani, we probably should have started with this. In Arabic language, there are two kinds of sentences. First, and then after that, we talk about each of them and the one that we want to focus on. Okay, but in any case, in Arabic language, there are two kinds of sentences. The one which begins with a noun, a ismun, is called a nominal sentence. In Arabic, it's called al-jumlatul ismiyatu. Al-jumla, al-ismiyah. And the one which begins with a verb, a fi'lun, is called a verbal sentence, al-jumlatul fi'liyah. We shall discuss here only the nominal sentence. Okay, without looking at the book, who can tell me what are the two types of sentences in Arabic? Their Arabic name and the meaning of those names. Now, jumla, naam, jumla tul al jumla al fi'liya and al jumla al ismiya. Okay, al jumla al fi'liya means what?
That we
start with a fi'l or a verb, and the jumla ismiya start with the ism or noun. Is that clear to everyone? Fine, Jayid. Let's look at some examples. Okay, here we said what? We shall discuss here only the nominal sentence. Okay, before that though, the jumla fi'liya, let me just say that the first type of sentence that they mention here is the jumla. Yani, they said the in Arabic language, there's two kinds of sentence. The one which begins with a noun is a nominal sentence of jumla ismiya. That's the one we want to talk about. The second one is the one that begins with a verb. It's called the verbal sentence or al-jumla al-fi'liya. Because we're not going to talk about the jumla fi'liya today in detail, I just want to give you an example or two of a jumla fi'liya. A jumla fi'liya has to begin with what? It has to begin with a fi'l. So let's say, Dhahaba Hamidun. Hamidun. Dhahaba Hamidun. Hamid went. Okay? In this sentence, it begins with a fi'l, so we say this is a jumla fi'liya. The jumla fi'liya has to have a fi'l, and it also has to have a fa'il. Yani a fa'il means the one that's doing the action. We're not going to talk about that in detail today, but I just want you to know that these are the two essential components of a jumla fi'liya. Fi'l and a fa'il. The verb and the one who's doing the action. Sometimes, the jumla fi'liya may also have a third component, which is called maf'ul or al-maf'ulu bihi. Sometimes it may have a third component also. Not always. Often it does, but not always. In which case, Ani will say, this is the object of the verb. Sometimes the action that the one who is doing the action, sometimes the action, Yani, extends to others. It's not limited to the doer of the action, but it affects others. So for example, you say, Shariba Hamidun Al-Halib or Al-Asir Al-Halib. Alright? Shariba Hamidun Al-Halib. Shariba is the fi'l, right? Shariba is the fi'l. Hamidun is the fa'il. And now we have this third component. This is the mafulun bi, the object of the verb. Hamid drank the milk. What was drank? The milk. Who drank it? Hamid. What was the action? The action of drinking. It was done by Hamid and it occurred or affected the milk. The milk was drank. Now, okay, I don't want to go into that now because this class is not really on that level. When we come to it, inshallah, we talk about it. It's the mafulun bi is always mansub. It's always mansub.
And the ba, is it a dhamma or a
fatha? I'm sorry. Jazakallah khair. Please pay attention. Please pay attention. Jazakallah khair. Shariba. Okay, shariba hamidun al-haliba. Okay? And there are many examples that we could give of verbal sentences, but the point is that a verbal sentence, jumla fi'liya, begins with a fi'l. Okay, jalasa al-talibu. Jalasa al-talibu. The student sat. Qama al-mudarrisu. The teacher stood up. Huh? Like this. Qara'a al-imamu. The imam read. Okay, qara'a is a verb. Jalasa is a verb. دخل خرج, all these are verbs. When the sentence begins with a verb, we say it's a verbal sentence. That's what we want to say about the verbal sentence today. Inshallah, when we come back to it, we'll go into it in detail. Okay, but we want to know that, yani, the difference between a verbal sentence and a nominal sentence is if the sentence begins with a noun, it's nominal. If it begins with a verb, it's verbal. Begins with a noun, that's an ism, we call it ismiya. Begins with a verb, a fi'l, we call it, huh? Fi'liya. Naam, fi'liya. Okay? Alright. We shall discuss here only the nominal sentence. A simple nominal sentence is of this form. Let's read from the right side, right? Zaydun alimun. Huh? Zaydun alimun. This sentence begins with a verb or a noun?
Noun.
Begins with a noun. Zayd is a noun. What kind of noun is it? Is it an adjective? Is it an adverb? Huh? It's a proper noun. The name of a person. Proper noun. That's the name of a person. And here, Zayd, it has tanween. Zayd has tanween. So remember, proper nouns, masculine proper nouns, sometimes they take tanween. But that does not mean that they are indefinite. Zayd is a proper noun. It's definite. Okay. Zaydun alimun. Zayd is learned, or Zayd is a scholar. Alright? Second example. Fatimatu alimatun. Fatimatu alimatun. Fatima is learned, or Fatima is a female scholar. Alright? Notice that the word alimun in the first sentence ends with meem. And in the second sentence, after the meme, there's ta marbuta. Why is that? Because feminine, feminine. Alim is masculine. Alima with ta marbuta is feminine. And remember, well, I shouldn't say remember because maybe you didn't study this before. But if in case you did study before, we said that masculine nouns, yani, can be made feminine by adding ta marbuta. And normally words that end with ta marbuta are feminine. That's the most common situation. But of course, there are some exceptions. I said that we can change a masculine noun to feminine by adding ta marbuta. Meaning that if we have a noun, in this case we have the word alim. Alimun. Okay, if we want to change it to feminine, then we simply have to add to the end of it ta marbuta, the feminine ending. Okay, but when we do that, of course, we can't have tanween here, right? We cannot have tanween here. because tanween can only be at the end of a word. So we have to remove the tanween. In order to work, make a word feminine, we have to do two things. We have to add ta marbuta, and we also have to make the last letter before the ta marbuta must be fatha. The last letter before ta marbuta in every word must always be fatha. Okay, so we're going to change the vowel to fatha. Whenever we add ta marbuta, we have to add fatha. And the letter, the last letter of the word, original word, before we add a ta marbuta, has to become fatha. Okay, ta marbuta must be preceded by fatha all the time, in every situation. There's no exception. This is the rule about which there's no exception. Okay, alhamdulillah. So this, we made this word alimun, masculine. We made it feminine, alimatun, feminine. We made it feminine by adding ta marbuta preceded by fatha, alima. Okay, these are two sentences. These two sentences, if we look at them carefully, we will notice that, as we said before, the two essential elements of a sentence, it has to have a subject and a predicate. So we notice that in the first sentence, Zaidun Alimun, there's a subject, Zaid. That's what we want to talk about. What do we want to say about Zaid? He's a scholar. He's a learned person. Okay, so that is the predicate. The first part, Zaidun, the subject is called Al-Mubtada'u. We're going to come to this in the next, after these examples. And the second part is called Al-Khabaru. And in the next sentence, we see the same thing. Fatimatu is the subject, the Mubtada'u that we want to talk about. And what about her? She is a female scholar, Alimatun. That's the Khabar, Khabar, Al-Khabaru. The third sentence, Al-Waladu. Zakiyun, Zakiyun, Zakiyun. The walad, the boy, is intelligent, smart. Zakiyun, with the letter Zal. Naam. Let's look at it. Al-waladu, al-waladu, zakiyya, al-zakiyun, zakiyun. If we want to change it and say al-bint, al-bint, al-bintu, zakiy. We're going to change it, right? We want to change this to feminine. We have to do what? We have to add ta marbuta. We have to add ta marbuta. And the ta marbuta must be preceded by what vowel? Fatha. So we say, Zakiyatun. Zakiyatun. Zaki. Yani has ya with shadda. And then we're adding ta marbuta to it. And the letter before, the ta marbuta must be fatha. So the boy is intelligent, the girl is intelligent. Zakiyun, Zakiyatun. Alright, that's your question? Whose question was that? Naam. Good? Zakiyun, Zakiyatun. The example they gave here, Albintu, Jamilatun. Albintu, Jamilatun. But we're going to change it to Albintu, Zakiyatun. I like this one better. If I was writing this book, I'll change some of these examples. But anyway, they have written it like this. And sometimes there's some insinuation that we want to get rid of. It has nothing to do with us. If you got it, you got it. If you didn't, you didn't. Don't worry about it. Now. We're going to talk about that, but not right now, okay? Yani, he's asking about the al-walad, if it didn't have alif lam here, how would it be? The main thing we want to say about this, just to give some answer to his question, the subject of the sentence in Arabic, the mubtada, is more often than not definite. So in the first sentence we saw, right, zaidu, zaidun, that's a proper noun, proper nouns are definite, right? In the second sentence we had fatimatu, that's also a feminine, female proper noun, right, that's definite. In the third sentence, we had al-waladu. Al-waladu is definite, has alif lam. And in the last sentence, we have al-bintu, yani also definite. So we can see that the mubtada is mostly, more often than not, definite, but not always. Yani, is it possible to remove the alif lam? It's possible to remove alif lam. Yani, the mubtada doesn't always have to be definite. Okay, it's possible that a mubtada can be indefinite. But, yani, more often than not, it's definite. Okay, if it's indefinite, there are some special rules that have to be, yani, observed, okay, in order for us to make the sentence be proper. Okay, yani, if the mubtada was indefinite, it's possible. And the khabar will be a shibah jumla, like fil bayti, for example, a preposition and an ism, majroor. And then the order of the sentence will be rearranged. The mubtada will come second and the khabar will come first. And we don't go into details of that. But I think, yani, in reference to your question, yes, it's possible that the mubtada can be indefinite. But now the sentence is going to be changed around a little bit. Okay? All right. Now.
I was going to ask you, with the Arabic sentences, the way it's structured, the mubtada always comes first. But you just said that that's not always.
Okay, so that's something also that we're going to talk about here as we go down a little bit further after these examples. We're going to talk about definite, indefinite, which one comes first and second. We're going to talk about that now, okay? But anyway, to respond to your question first, before we even read it, the mubtada usually comes first, but not always. But not always, okay? Not always. So, we said previously, and I'm going to remind you of it again, that these two words that are written in your book, al-mubtada, al-mubtada. Al-mubtada'u. This mubtada'u, if you look at this word carefully, you see that it has ba here, and it has dal here, and it has hamza. And this is from the verb bada'a. Bada'a means to begin. So the mubtada is the word that we begin the sentence with. It's called mubtada because we begin the sentence with it. But that's not absolute, that it always begins the sentence. But mostly, yes, the mubtada is the word that the sentence begins with. Okay? So, in reference to your question, must the sentence always begin with the mubtada? No, but usually it does. It's possible that the mubtada may come second and the khabar come first, but then there are special rules that have to be observed that we're not going to talk about now. Okay, I mentioned it earlier, but it's not important for us at this point. Okay, let's read. After these examples that they gave us, and we could give more examples, right? Yani, the examples they gave us here, they gave us Zayd and Fatima as Mubtada, right? Those are proper nouns, they're definite. And they gave us Al-Walad and Al-Bint. These are not proper nouns, these are common nouns. Yani, Al-Walad, that's a noun that could be applied to anybody. Everybody in the world, even the oldest person sitting here, and I'm not the oldest person sitting here, mashallah, there's somebody here older than me, one person at least. even the oldest person sitting here, he's walad. Al-walad, ya walad. Naam, he's walad. Maybe you say, ya walad. He said, don't call me boy, I'm a grown man. Naam, but a walad is a person who was born. A person who was born. So, which, who wasn't born? Everybody's born, right? So, everybody is walad.
Even the people.
Well, females are walad too, naam. Females were born, naam, they're walad. But of course, we use walad mainly for a boy, right? And we use bint mainly for a girl. But actually, walad, it can mean both, either one. It means a child. It means a child. So it can be either one. Just like zawj and zawja. Zawj, and you say the husband, and zawja is the wife. But zawj really means spouse. It can mean husband or wife, okay? But this common usage is like this, okay? Alright, so, and the point here is that what's important here is that these sentences they have given us, the words that they have given us, proper nouns and common nouns. But the sentence can also begin with a pronoun. It can begin with a ism ishara, a demonstrative pronoun. It can begin with other types of words. It don't have to be a common noun or a proper noun. Okay, but these are the examples that they gave us. But if a person wanted to use a demonstrative pronoun, they could say, for example, hadha waladun. هذه بنت ذلك مسجد that is a masjid. So the sentence can begin with other types of words, not just a common noun or proper noun. These are just a couple of examples that they gave us here, okay? Okay, now let's look at the core of what we want to discuss concerning the nominal sentence. Okay, what has been written here? Yani, should be sufficient, I hope. that everybody read the lesson before. By the way, I don't normally do this, but today I'm going to take a chance. I hope I don't offend anybody. But who has read this lesson that we're doing today, page 4? Who has read it before you came to class? Who read it before you came to class? Few people. Please. Few people. Abbas. Alhamdulillah. Good. Huh? Skim through it? Okay. MashaAllah. I'll make an excuse. Probably some people didn't read it because they already know it. Huh? Or maybe the person didn't read it. Maybe they were yani quite busy. They didn't have a lot of time. Okay, no problem. But I say this for what reason? Please don't come to class knowing what the subject is going to be and you haven't previewed it. Please don't come to class knowing what the subject is going to be and you have not previewed it. With me, as far as I'm concerned, it's not permissible for a student to come to class without previewing the lesson. That means you came unprepared. You came unprepared. And I'm saying that, yani, being fully aware that, yani, you might not be used to doing that. You might not be used to doing that. But the point that I want to make now, and the reason why I'm saying it like this, because I want it to weigh on your mind. I want you to feel like, wow, next time, you know, if you ask this question, I'm going to say, I read the lesson. Okay? Because one of my teachers, he told us that if you want to do well in your studies, you have to, after every lesson, you have to review what you studied. And before every lesson, you have to preview what you're about to study. So when you preview the lesson, you're going to see, wow, I understand all of these points except this, and this, and this. So you're going to highlight those points, and when you come to class, you're going to come ready to make sure you grasp those things that you didn't understand on your own. Because much of this you can understand on your own. But maybe there might be one point or one word that you didn't get. So when you come to class, you're going to focus on that. And you're just going to confirm the rest of it that you already understood. Alright, so please preview. Let's finish this lesson with what remains. Just like in English, a nominal sentence in Arabic has two parts. The subject of the sentence, right, what you want to talk about, is called al-mubtada'u. Al-mubtada'u. Say that word.
Al-mubtada'u.
Good, good. And the predicate, what you want to say about it, is called al-khabaru. Naam, al-khabaru. That's the predicate, okay? The subject, al-mubtada'u, the predicate, al-khabru. The noun with which the nominal sentence begins is called mubtada'un. The noun that the nominal sentence begins with. Not the noun that the verbal sentence begins with, okay? Because the verbal sentence doesn't begin with a noun. It begins with a verb. But the noun that a nominal sentence begins with is called mubtada'un. Mubtada'un, in English, they call it the subject. And the other part, which says something about it, about the subject, about the mubtada, the other part, which says something about the mubtada, is called khabarun, predicate. Okay, now there are some rules here. There are some rules here which are quite important, right? And they require some explanation. And I'll explain a little bit of it, and then if you have questions, ask. Usually, notice the word usually. Pay attention to these words, okay? Because these are very important. Usually means what? Not all the time. But usually means a lot, often, frequent, right? So, usually the subject of a nominal sentence is a definite noun. It's a noun that's definite, like Zaydun, Fatimatu, Al-Waladu, Al-Bintu. All of those are definite. Okay? Zayd and Fatima are definite. Why? Because they're proper nouns. Al-waladu and al-bintu are definite. Why? Why are they definite? Because they have alif-lam. Alif-lam means the word is definite. Okay? So usually the subject, the mubtada'u, of a nominal sentence is a definite noun. Either a proper noun like Zayd and Fatima, or a noun with the definite article like al-waladu and al-bintu. Or it may also be a pronoun. Yani notice, remember we said that all these sentences begin with either a proper noun or common noun. But it's possible that a sentence may begin with other kind of words, like a pronoun, a demonstrative pronoun, yani a personal pronoun, and so on. Okay? So it's possible that a sentence can begin with huwa or hiya or ana. Yani ana muslimun, huwa zamili, and so on. A sentence can begin with a pronoun. Why? Because pronouns are all definite. Remember, we just said proper nouns are definite. All proper nouns are definite. All pronouns are definite. Huwa, hiya, ana, nahnu. These are all pronouns. They're all definite. Okay, so a sentence may also begin with a pronoun. This is the first thing. Usually the subject is definite. And I say to you here, usually means frequently, often, a lot. But it doesn't mean every situation, every circle, not always. Sometimes the subject of the sentence, the mubtada, may be indefinite. It's possible. And we'll see that in the future. The second point here that you must learn and make sure you understand well, the predicate is again what? Usually. Not always. Usually indefinite. Stop there. The subject is usually definite. The predicate is usually indefinite. Huh? Opposite. Make that note in your mind. The subject is usually definite. And the predicate is usually indefinite. But again, the word usually means what? Means sometimes the subject may not be definite. And the predicate may not be indefinite. That's possible. Okay? But usually, most of the time. And in these sentences, this is the case. Zayd is definite. Alim is indefinite. Fatima is definite. Alima is indefinite. Al-Waladu is definite. Zakiyun is indefinite. Al-Bintu is definite. Jamilatun is indefinite. Okay, so usually this is the case, and in all the examples they gave here, that's the case. The predicate is usually indefinite. And agrees in gender with the subject. Huh? In gender. What do we mean by gender?
Feminine.
Masculine and feminine. Means masculinity, femininity. The subject, if it is masculine, the predicate should also be masculine. Huh? If the subject is feminine, the predicate should also be feminine. That's why we had Zaydun Alimun. Alimun is masculine, like Zayd. Fatima Alimatun. Alimatun is feminine because it has to be in agreement with the subject.
Always.
That's a rule. I mean, the subject and predicate must agree in gender. And you can't say Arrajulu Alimatun. The man is a female scholar. That's impossible.
Yeah.
No, that's possible with the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the people of Yani whose minds are distorted and polluted. They can have that. But in the real world, no.
How about English wise, the man is a female doctor?
The man is a female doctor. No, he's a doctor that serves females. That's different. But he's not a female doctor. He himself is a female. No, that's not possible. Except in the twisted minds of the people of kufr and shirk.
In that case, in a situation where we have al-bintu jamilatun. Now, if I want to say
al-bintu jamilatun. Al-bint is feminine, jamilatun is feminine. Now,
if I want to say that al-waladu jamilatun, what will I use? That the boy is pretty, is handsome.
No, you can't say al-waladu jamilatun. That's feminine. You have to say al-waladu jamilun without tarmabuta. Jamilun without tarmabuta. Masculine, masculine. Feminine, feminine. Wayakum. Tayyib. Okay, so what are we saying here? What? This is the second point. The first point that we said is usually the subject of the sentence is definite and the predicate is indefinite. That's our first rule. Usually. The second rule, the predicate agrees with the subject in gender. The predicate agrees with the subject in gender. Masculinity in gender. Masculinity and femininity. Naam. Alright? So the subject, if the subject is masculine, we have to make sure that the khabar, the predicate, also has to be masculine with it. And feminine with feminine. And we can add here, it's not mentioned here, but it is important to say here that not only the predicate agrees in gender with the subject, but it also agrees in number. Yani the predicate also agrees in number. Meaning, if the subject is singular, the predicate also has to be singular. If the subject is plural, the predicate also has to be plural. Okay, it has to agree with it in gender, masculinity and femininity, and it also has to agree with it in number. In Arabic, number means singular, dual and plural. Not like English, you have singular and plural. In Arabic, you have singular, dual and plural. Mufrad, singular, muthanna, dual, and jam' plural. Has to agree with also in number. So make a note that not only agrees in gender, must also agree with it in number. And the last point here, and this is what we end with, mashallah, with some time remaining for questions. Both the subject and the predicate are marfu'un. That is, it will always have one dhamma, yeah, dhamma, or tanween, double dhamma. Huh? No. No, they don't both have to be dhamma tame, but they both have to have dhamma. Yani, if the subject is marfu'un with dhamma, then the predicate also has to be marfu'un with dhamma. But as far as both of them having double dhamma or single dhamma, no. Because the subject, we said, is usually definite. Al-bintu, it's definite, right? So al-bintu can't take a double dhamma. Right? Because it has alif lam. Al-bintu, yani, what did we say? Bintu what? Jamilatun. Jamilatun, we said the predicate is usually indefinite. Indefinite has tanween. So the subject, if it is definite, it has a single vowel. And the predicate, if it's indefinite, has a double vowel. But what they have in agreement is what? The dhamma. They're both marfu'un. Whether it's single or double, it doesn't matter. What's important, they don't have to agree in being definite and indefinite. They don't agree, they don't have to agree in that. They have to agree in being marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun. Yani genitive, accusative or nominative. They have to agree in their i'rab, in their case ending. Not in being definite and indefinite. So, let me just close with this point. If you get it, get it. If you didn't, don't worry about it. When we come to adjectives, we're going to say that adjectives have to agree with the noun that they are describing. They have to agree with them. They have to agree with them in their number, singular, dual, or plural. They have to agree with them in their case ending. They have to agree in masculine and femininity. And they also have to agree in being definite or indefinite. Adjectives. But these are not adjectives. We're talking here about the subject and predicate. That's different. The rule for adjective, the adjective must agree with the word that it's describing. But this is not an adjective, this is a khabar. And sometimes we get mixed up between the adjective and the khabar because they kind of like work, yani they do the same job. Yani a khabar tells you something about the mubtada, and an adjective describes the, yani the man'ut. The not describes the man'ut. So they, yani kind of like work the same way, they do the same kind of job, but they are not the same. An adjective is describing a noun. And a khabar is giving us information about a mubtada. So they're not really the same. A lot of times we get them mixed up, so please pay attention to that. Yani they don't have to both be definite. It's possible that they both could be definite. That's possible. But that's not required, that they be in agreement in being definite or indefinite. What's required, they have to both be masculine or feminine. They have to be in agreement like that. They have to both be marfu'un or mansub or majrur, the case ending. Huh? And they have to both be what? Agreement in number. So what they have to agree with? They have to agree in being, yani, in number, number and gender, and what? And i'rab, case ending. So please make a note of this. They have to agree in these three things. They do not have to agree in this one, being definite or indefinite. They do not have to agree in this, but they have to agree in number, gender, and case ending. Yani the mubtada and the khabar. Yani we don't really say they agree in case ending, really, we don't say they agree in case ending, but yani, they will be the same in case ending. But not necessarily agreement, but they will be the same in number and in gender and in case ending. But as far as case ending, we don't say they agree because they are both always automatically marfu'un. They don't change. Yani, mubtada and khabar are both marfu'un all the time. So it's not a matter of agreement. They are naturally required to be marfu'un. So they're always going to be in agreement. But as far as number and gender, it may change. The mubtada could be singular, dual, or plural. It has to agree with it. Yani, the mubtada could be masculine or feminine. It has to agree with it. But as far as case ending, yani, they're automatically marfu'un. Any question? No. Now. ذهب حامد. فعل أو فاعل.
So the فاعل is the noun, right?
It is a noun, yes.
So that is the noun.
Yeah.
Person performing the action. And the first one
is a verb.
Is the verb.
Yes.
The action performed.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
That's correct.
Alhamdulillah.
طيب. Yes, أخي. Adam.
The ism is always definite.
No. The ism is not always definite. Ism could be definite or indefinite. It could have alif lam, it could have tanween. A noun can be definite or indefinite.
But what I mean is that whatever comes under the category of ism, all it should be definite?
No, no, not. No. No. Everything that comes under ism, they are not all definite, no. An adjective could be definite or indefinite, right? Could be definite or indefinite. Yani, an adverb, we don't say it's definite or indefinite. And it doesn't have definite and indefiniteness. So there are some things that come under ism that are definite. Pronouns are definite, yes. Proper nouns are definite, yes. Common nouns can be definite or indefinite. Adjectives can be indefinite or definite. So not everything that comes under ism is definite, no. Okay? But in terms of the lesson today, we said that the mubtada is usually definite, most of the time, but not always. And the khabar, what you want to say about the mubtada, is usually indefinite, but not all the time. Usually. Okay? They do not have to agree in being definite or indefinite. Usually they don't agree. That's not a requirement. What they have to agree in? They have to agree in number, singular, dual, or plural. They have to agree in gender, being masculine or feminine. And they automatically are always in agreement. In the case ending the i'rab, they're always marfu'un. Okay, we're going to stop here, inshallah. The time has elapsed. But, yani, please try to review this lesson carefully. Yani, inshallah, tomorrow we'll place the class recording on the website. Inshallah, bi'idhin lahi ta'ala. If you want to listen to it again, you can go back and listen to it. If you haven't recorded it yourself, then you can listen to it on the website tomorrow, bi'idhin lahi ta'ala. Tayyib, so please review the lesson before you come to class next week. And next week, we're going to do an exercise with the nominative, genitive, accusative, masculine and feminine, definite and indefinite nouns. We're going to do a lesson with that, and then we're going to go on to yani the verb, the past tense verb. We're going to look at the past tense verb. That's going to be a detailed lesson, so please come prepared. Look at the next two pages, page 5, which is exercises, dealing with what we already covered, and page 6, dealing with a new topic. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.